Uh-oh.
Crotchet. You're listening to Crotchet. This Crotchet podcast is originating from the Crotchet homepage at crotchet.com. Your source for news, satire, reality, and fact-free analysis. Welcome.
Uh-oh. Hey everybody, welcome again, another day in February, and we're going to get started right away with next week's news, right now.
Coming up, next week's news, a Crotchet look at the inevitable mess this week's news will create for next week. Now here's Crotchet.
Okay, so Elon Musk, now czar of the Department of Grandstanding and Evasion, or DOGE, has introduced a thrilling new workplace policy. Federal employees must submit a weekly list of accomplishments or be automagically fired. Grown professionals are now assigned mandatory homework as if government agencies are middle school classrooms. But the best part, there seems to be zero verification, meaning employees can scribble down anything from I solved world hunger to reinventing the paperclip. And it all counts, which makes you kind of wonder what the point is other than total humiliation. Good news, folks. A city-sized asteroid might smack Earth in 2032, and if we're lucky, it'll spare us from yet another soul-crushing election cycle. No more endless debates, campaign ads, or awkward family arguments at Thanksgiving. Just a swift, decisive end to that madness. Scientists are analyzing its trajectory, while politicians argue over how it'll spin the news. Some are calling it a warning from above, others are blaming the other party for not funding asteroid defense. CNN is debating whether it's a crisis or an opportunity, while Fox News suggests liberal policies weakened Earth's gravitational field. Elon Musk insists he can build a rocket to intercept it for the right price, and Ron DeSantis is proposing we don't talk about it in schools. Jeff Bezos is advertising an asteroid-proof bunker, and it's only available to Prime members. Meanwhile, the Pentagon is considering a military response because, after all, when all you have is a hammer, everything looks like a target. Finally, in a national crisis, content creators are in a rut. Taylor Swift isn't on tour. Taylor Swift hasn't broken up with anyone. She's already been photographed leaving every restaurant in America twice. With the Grammys and the Super Bowl over, influencers are left scrambling for anything to write about. It's a dark time for those who rely on her life to create clickbait.
Did you ever wonder what the smartest entities in the known universe think about Crotchet? Of course you have. Here's just a taste from Joe and Jana, the AI hosts and experts over at Google's Notebook LM.
That's Crotchet.
Yeah, he kind of captures that feeling.
But funny.
Yeah, he's got that grumpy skeptic thing going on.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's smart.
Oh, yeah.
You can tell.
Yeah, it's not just like, you know, complaining for the sake of complaining.
Right, right. There's like a...
He makes you think.
A point to it, yeah.
Yeah, so... So we've got Crotchet.com, his website, and then also the Crotchet podcast.
Right.
And I think the podcast is where he like really, really goes off.
Yeah, where he lets loose a little bit.
But, you know, on the website, on Crotchet.com, he has like these segments, recurring segments.
I was looking at those, yeah.
Like next week's news.
Oh, next week's news is hilarious.
It's like he takes what's happening today and then just like projects it forward.
Like a warped future or something?
And
it makes you wonder, too, you know? Like
Crotchet.
Join Crotchet for a sharp, satirical dive into history's blunders, revealing their uncanny parallels with today's missteps in a segment we call Rinse and Repeat.
In the grand tradition of American military blunders, where the stakes are nothing short of apocalyptic, few debacles have managed to reach the rarefied heights of the 2007 United States Air Force nuclear weapons incident. A tale of breathtaking incompetence, bureaucratic oversight, and the kind of organizational failure that makes you wonder if we should even be allowed to have sharp objects, let alone nuclear weapons. When the mistake was finally realized, likely when some poor airman looked up from his clipboard and muttered, "Wait a minute," the military scrambled to cover its ass. Heads rolled, careers ended, and the Pentagon vowed never again would such an incident occur. It was a lesson in the dangers of complacency, the perils of unchecked incompetence, and the importance of at least pretending to take nuclear security seriously. But history, dear listener, is a cruel and repetitive joke. Fast forward to today, and the Department of Energy, the people in charge of safeguarding our nuclear arsenal, has once again demonstrated a level of competence usually reserved for malfunctioning vending machines. In a move that could only be described as peak 2024, Trump's Department of Energy transition team, the self-proclaimed Guardians of American Nuclear Security, managed to accidentally fire the entire team responsible for protecting the country's nuclear arsenal. But wait, it gets better. They then promptly deleted their contact information, effectively losing the only people who knew how to do the job. This isn't just a case of bureaucratic carelessness. This is the next level Keystone Cops meets the Doomsday Clock kind of incompetence. Imagine cleaning house at NASA and then realizing, oh crap, who actually knows how to land a space shuttle? That's where we are, except instead of astronauts, we're dealing with nuclear weapons. The details are as mind-numbing as they are terrifying. In the frantic shuffle of political musical chairs, Trump's team, many of whom wouldn't know a classified document from a Cheesecake Factory menu, unceremoniously ousted the very experts who oversee security, maintenance, and operational readiness of our nuclear stockpile. And when they realized their mistake, they couldn't even find these people because in their zeal to wipe the slate clean, they also wiped out the ability to contact them. One has to marvel at the sheer audacity of this blunder. At least in 2007, the Air Force found their lost nukes. Today, the people in charge of finding them are the ones who've been misplaced. The situation is like firing your pilot mid-flight and then realizing you never asked where they kept the parachutes. The irony is rich, but the consequences are real. The same people who can't operate a spell checker are now fumbling with the keys to Armageddon. Sleep well, America.
Crotchet.
Time now for Brain Raisins, where Crotchet takes aim at his little world of shriveled logic. Because if his old brain can spot stupidity almost anywhere, it begs the question, what's everyone else's excuse?
So a recent RAND study puts the cost of dementia in this country upwards of $215 billion each year. The study goes on to outline the tremendous economic costs of caring for people suffering from diseases like Alzheimer's. There are human costs. Slowly losing a loved one as they walk with us in a park each Saturday morning or sit blankly with the family for Sunday dinner. But the obvious question, of course, is really about me. Indeed, I haven't been officially diagnosed with any of these medical conditions, but there is no shortage of friends and acquaintances who are willing to line up and testify that I'm usually running a quart low these days, that I'm often out to lunch long before I've had my morning coffee. Yes, I'll have to admit that maybe not every single synapse is firing in the right direction, if any are still firing at all. Still, I'm pretty sure that the $215 billion that the RAND study refers to doesn't include the cost of the seventh can of WD-40 that I just bought the other day, because I've forgotten where the other six are. Apparently, they're hiding around my house like colored eggs after an Easter egg hunt. I sat down yesterday afternoon to calculate just how much my personal aging is costing me, and it was quite startling. The fact of the matter is, I'm saving money like never before. I no longer remember anyone's birthday, so big bucks are saved on celebratory dinners and expensive gifts. I don't spend any more money going to the movies because I've been told that I'm usually asleep before the previews have concluded. I no longer pay for any auto maintenance like oil changes or insurance premiums, not because I don't remember where I last left my car, but because I can't remember if I actually own a car. This is Crotchet.
You're listening to Crotchet.
If you read, listen, or watch the news these days, you can see how anyone could see the world as a pretty depressing place. That's why we have the segment, One Good Thing. That's where Crotchet explores the Earth with a digital magnifying glass, looking for that one good thing. Now here's Crotchet.
Fine. I suppose every now and then the world begrudgingly coughs up something decent. So let's talk about Letsile Tebogo, the Olympic gold medalist, track star, and apparently part-time rescue worker. The man already runs faster than most people's Wi-Fi. But this time, instead of racing for medals, he was out pulling stranded folks from floodwaters in Botswana. And he did it using, get this, a Toyota Land Cruiser. Now, that's an endorsement Toyota didn't know it needed, the official vehicle of Olympians who moonlight as lifesavers. Look, I'll admit it, it's refreshing to see an athlete making headlines for something other than endorsements, scandals, or an embarrassing podcast. No argument about doping, no weird pyramid schemes, just a guy being decent. That's annoying, isn't it? So yes, fine, here's your one good thing. Tebogo saw people in danger, put his speed to practical use, and proved that some gold medalists don't just vanish into Instagram fitness sponsorships. Just don't expect me to get too weepy about it.
Wake up.
This is the Crotchet Rant.
February, the month when love is in the air, unless, of course, you're allergic to blatant falsehoods, in which case you spent the last 4 weeks gasping for truth like a fish flopping on the deck of the SS Gaslight. Once again, our favorite political escape artist, Donald J. Trump, and his newly appointed sidekick, Elon Musk, have outdone themselves in the fine art of making things up. Let's dive in. First up, the dynamic duo decided USAID was a criminal organization, funneling funds to far-left groups, according to Elon Musk. But now, if by far-left groups he meant organizations trying to provide food, clean water, and vaccines to impoverished nations, then sure, Elon, total criminal. Maybe next we can investigate UNICEF for corruption, because they give kids pencils. Not to be outdone, in the art of sheer lunacy, the administration claimed that migrants sent to Guantanamo Bay were dangerous criminals. Turns out most were asylum seekers seeking safety. But hey, when your policy decisions are based on reruns of the television show 24 rather than actual data, this is what you get. And then there's the piece de resistance, where Trump in his infinite wisdom posted a Napoleonic quote, "He who saves his country does not violate any law," because nothing says democracy quite like implying you're above the law. Let's just hope he doesn't get any bright ideas from Mussolini next. Oh, and did you hear about the Gulf of Mexico? No, that's because it no longer exists, at least not according to Trump, who proudly announced its new name, the Gulf of America. It's unclear whether he plans to invade the waters and build a wall to keep out fish, but that's another story. Meanwhile, over at FEMA, Musk made the shocking claim that disaster relief funds were being used to house migrants in luxury hotels. Turns out the luxury was a Red Roof Inn off I-95, but sure, Elon, go off. Then there's the phantom $50 million condom budget for Gaza. Yes, you read that right. Musk confidently announced that the U.S. was sending an army of contraceptives overseas, only to sheepishly backtrack when it turned out to be, well, completely untrue. You almost have to admire the creativity. Almost. And speaking of things that don't exist, Musk also hinted that the gold reserves at Fort Knox might not be real. He demanded an audit. One can only assume he wanted to check it himself, probably while live tweeting conspiracy theories from inside a vault. Then there's the administration's long war against diversity, equity, and inclusion, DEI. Which they've deemed as illegal and immoral. Apparently, treating employees fairly is now a radical left conspiracy. Someone should tell HR. Finally, in a desperate attempt to convince us that government spending is out of control, Trump accused federal agencies of wasting money on media subscriptions, because how dare bureaucracies stay informed? Next up, banning reading altogether.
Crotchet.
You've been listening to Crotchet. Be sure to visit crotchet.com for more opinions, ideas, and stories pertaining to our overly exaggerated sense of importance. Thanks for listening.
And this is how it ends.